Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. So what are you grilling this summer? And how do you feel about your grilling skills? Me, not so good. But the summer season is flying by, and there's still plenty of good grilling weather left, so we're going to spend a little time now talking about the do's and don'ts of grilling and the passion for cooking with fire.
So what ignites your appetite? Wood, charcoal, gas, porterhouse, salmon, or fresh corn on the cob, hot off the grill? How about grilled striper filet with summer corn succotash? In a moment, two Boston area chefs with deep backgrounds in grilling will join us with some of their favorite recipes, techniques, marinades, and advice about successful and delicious grilling.
And we want to hear from you. So what's your question? Do you know how to grill that steak just right every time? Do you have some great grilling recipes for your vegetarian friends? Or maybe that's you yourself. What fires the thrill of your grill? Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. We're also on Facebook and Twitter at Radio Boston.
And to get us started, we're here in beautiful East Somerville, and I'm joined by Andy Husbands. Of course, our listeners know him as our regular farm-to-fork talent. He's also chef and owner of Tremont 647 and the author of a new cookbook called...
Grilled to Perfection.
Grilled to Perfection. So, Andy, what are we going to grill to perfection today?
Today, we're going to work on steaks, the best steak possible. So I have this pile of charcoal, and it's you can see the embers are bright orange to white. It's really, really hot. So what's really important about grilling? One is high heat. We need to have that high heat. We've got that now. The way I tell is by putting my hand above it. If I can't hold it more than about 3 seconds, 3 to 5 seconds, that's going to be hot grilling. So once we get our grill hot, very important to clean it. You always want to clean it when it's hot. So I have a grill brush here. Gonna just get any of the old debris, because you didn't feel like cleaning it when you were done last time. And that's okay, because it comes off really easy when it's hot. What I got is a couple of steaks. Two of my favorite cuts, one of my high-end favorite cuts, which is a bone-in ribeye. Now, so that's my high-end favorite cut. For my quote-unquote low-end, and these are all natural, this is what we use at Tremont 647, is skirt steak.
Skirt steak. Super thin, right?
Yeah, it's thin. We like to say it's a meat lover steak.
A meat lover steak.
Hearty, as we say. Other people might say chewy.
Mm-hmm.
Big, big flavor, though. What I'm going to do, and this is one of the most important parts, is I have freshly cracked black pepper.
And you're really not being stingy about this. You're putting a lot of pepper on it.
Yeah, I'm going to put a lot of pepper. So put more pepper than you think you should. Lots of salt, lots of pepper.
There it goes. So right over the coals. You're not putting it on the cool part of the grill.
No.
Right over the coals. We got it smelling so good already.
Oh, yeah. And you can see this is kind of golden brown.
This is the skirt
steak. The skirt steak starting to char a little bit. Now, the way to know things are done is timing it, but best way is a thermometer. Me, guy like me, I'm just going to guess, a very educated guess, and I can just feel it. We kind of use when it's very, very soft or loose, we know it's rare, and when it's well done, it's very, very firm. I suggest a thermometer for starting to begin. Our skirt steak, which is very, very thin, is pretty much done. I think we've been doing this for about 2 minutes now, and I'm just going to take it off.
That looks beautiful, too.
I'm going to take the ribeye off, too. I think that's going to be more like rare, and I think the skirt steak's going to be more like medium to medium well. So we've waited a couple minutes, and now we're going to slice our steak. Here's the skirt steak. And what I'm doing here with all meats is you want to cut against the grain. Very, very important. So you can tell the skirt steak is about medium, soft pink inside, still a little bit cool to medium rare. In some places, skirt steak's a little bit thinner. And you can see it's more like well done.
Mm-hmm.
And then the ribeye, which I'm thinking is pretty rare. We're going to cut into it right now.
Oh, yeah.
Very rare.
So I'm going to start with the ribeye. It's perfect. It doesn't need anything. But I know you're going to add something that's going to make it even better.
The Italians do a Florentine style steak, which is just simply lemon juice and olive oil. So I like to do for my steaks is just a little bit of fresh lime, kind of a take on it.
I love this idea of lime.
Just a little bit of lime and a little bit of olive oil.
That's great. Andy Husbands, thanks so much. So we're going to head back into the studio, take some calls, talk about grilling. We have another guest joining us, and so let's head back in that direction.
See you there.
And just like that, from the wilds of East Somerville, we're back live in our Radio Boston studios with Andy Husbands. Thanks again, Andy, for being with us and for that late morning protein bash there.
My pleasure.
That was very good. Also joining us is Tony Maws, chef and owner of Craigie on Main in Cambridge and chef proprietor of Kirkland Tap and Trotter in Somerville. Good to see you, Tony. Thanks for coming in.
Great to be here with everybody.
And listeners, as we said, we want to hear from you. So what's your question about grilling? We've got two of Boston's best grill masters to answer your questions about heat and fire, meat and vegetable, marinades and spice rubs. We're talking about the thrill of your grill. So give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We're also on Facebook and Twitter at Radio Boston. And gentlemen, before we talk about grilling, give us a little bit of the history of you guys. You guys go way back. You worked together for a long time at the original East Coast Grill with Chris Schlesinger. So, Andy, is that where you picked up your grilling skills?
That is absolutely. Chris Schlesinger, really my mentor, really taught me all to do about grill. And, I had the honor to work with Tony and...
you were my boss, by the way.
I had the honor to work with Tony. And,
he had the something or other to work with you, right?
Exactly.
But no, Chris Schlesinger has such a passion for live fire cooking, you know, not just grilling, but, you know, smoking as well and whole hogs. It was just a great, great experience. And he really kind of just pushed that passion upon me, and I absolutely adore it.
And Tony, to sort of get us into the moment, why grill? You know, what do you like about grilling and what it does to food?
I mean, I think everybody likes grilling. It's just there's something about the smell. It's just, I mean, when we talk about old school, this is older than old school. You know, you've got real live flame on, you know, wood, and there's just something that's so attractive about it. And it's sexy also because it's almost uncontrollable. You know, it's different every time. Mm-hmm. You know, what is scary to some, or why some people use gas grills or they don't use grills at all and they're only cooking in their home, is because you've got this great little dial where you've got a lot of control. And the whole art of learning how to grill is, you know, it's taming, but you're never in control, and it's different every single time. And that definitely has the thrill of the grill. I mean, that's part of the fun.
So is that what holds people back? Because what I wanted to ask next is to sort of give us that sort of one valuable piece of advice that helps folks push their grilling skills up a few notches. What holds folks back? Tony?
I think it's exactly that. I mean, it can be intimidating. And, you know, I'm an okay grill guy, and I'm a pretty good cook. And, you know, about once or twice a season, I come storming into my house with a plate of something completely charred and black. You know, having completely, you know, misread what I thought I was doing, and it's very humbling, and that's what I love about it, though. But the flavor is unmistakable and unmatched. You know, you put something on a grill, and you can be very, very simple. You know, Andy said, kind of just very, you know, well seasoned, but nothing crazy on a beautiful steak, and you put that on a plate, and there's really no way of duplicating that flavor. And
yeah,
that's,
or improving it.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And it's just a great way to be.
Well, let's talk about that, because, Andy, we began this morning grilling that steak. You did it really simply, salt, pepper, hot fire, just a few minutes, flipped it over, done. But what about meats that need a little more, longer, slower cook, like chicken, for example? Easy to burn and blacken before they're done.
In the book, we talk a lot about two-zone cooking, and really that's... So grilling is about speed. So a big chicken breast, maybe even, especially if it's on the bone, or a chicken thigh, turkey. What we do is kind of, we'll sear it over the grill, but then offset it so the fire is on one side, and you're getting the radiant heat, but not the direct heat, because too often we'll get it burnt at that point. Also, it helped to dome it, to put the lid on it as well. That kind of creates a hot roasting environment,
which is just really, really good. Still going to keep it juicy, especially something that's on the bone. Like, I love a what they call a statler or a bone-in chicken breast. Really, really works well, a crown. I'd also like to say that we are talking about charcoal here.
Yes.
When Tony and I are talking, we're talking about charcoal.
Hardwood charcoal.
And you mentioned, not the briquettes.
So important distinction there between the briquettes and hardwood charcoal.
Right. Absolutely.
Briquettes don't burn as hot and don't burn as clean. And gas, and everybody says it's easier. I would put forth that people, and I see people at very high-end shopping stores or grocery stores, you guys know what I'm talking about, and they go there and they really care about their food, but they want to use the gas grill because it's easier. And it doesn't make sense to me. There's a disconnect between here you are spending all this money on this really great quality food or getting stuff at farmer's market, yet you don't care and you put it on a gas grill. Mm. The cleaning does not take that much. And it's absolutely worth
especially it. In you mentioned that you do it when it's still hot, and that's the thing. You just get yourself in the habit. I mean, I can't think of a single pan in your kitchen that you cook with, and then you just put it away and you don't clean it. I mean, we clean up after ourselves. That's what you do. And if you keep your grill nice and clean, then it's actually one of the easiest things, and you don't have to spend all that money on something fancy. I mean, my Weber that cost me like what was it, $80 or something like that. I've had it with me now for 5 years. So I replaced the grate every other year, and I can't. I mean, I've cooked entire meals at one time, and not just the protein itself, but vegetables on one side, and I've got potatoes and foil and the coals, and everything is in this one place, and all of them develop this incredible flavor, and it's all right there. And then you're actually only cleaning up one thing, not four different pans or six different pans or whatever it is.
Yeah, and I just say get yourself a small little metal garbage can. Just dump your coals in it, and then when it gets full, let it sit for 3 days, throw it out.
So you're not going to say anything to encourage folks who are out there with a gas grill and just think, I just don't really have it in me to make room in my life for coals, charcoal.
There are some really great high-end gas grills these days, and we do address that in our cookbook. And also, I know that if you live in Boston, you're on the second floor, the third floor, you can't have charcoal. So there are some great options out there. I just suggest get it really hot. Turn it on, close the lid, and get it just really, really hot so you can get a good sear on it, because that's the difference. I mean, one of the differences.
That is the problem. It's the heat that you need to do, grilling properly. You need that hard, hard heat. And even if you're not cooking directly over the coals, like Andy mentioned before, like it's almost that convection that's going on inside the grill, that radiant heat and how the air is transferred. And the flavor, is a gas grill okay? Of course.
Yeah.
But can you recreate the actual flavor and the smell and the aroma?
Got to have real
fire. Of hardwood. Like that's what it is.
All right. Listeners, we're talking to Tony Maz. He's chef and owner of Craigie on Main and chef proprietor of Kirkland Tap and Trotter in Somerville, and Andy Husband, chef and owner of Tremont 647 and co-author of Grill to Perfection. We're talking about the joys of grilling, and we're taking your questions at 800-423-8255. Let's take a few right now, gentlemen. Let's go to Bob from Wellesley. Hi, Bob. You're on the air.
Thanks for taking the call. Hey, guys, quick question on gas cleaning. I actually am an avid griller. I grill probably a couple times a week, at least all season and into the winter as well. You mentioned making sure you keep the grill surface clean, which I do, but what about underneath with the burners and whatnot? That's something I do only, maybe a couple times a year, and it gets pretty nasty down there, but I figure it's not necessary. What are your guys' thoughts on that?
What do you think, guys?
I think we're both stumped.
You've got two real coal guys here.
I think what you need to do is because the gas comes out through these holes, either when it's off, use like a skewer, or I think they have air blast to make sure that they're clean. We have a similar thing, I guess, for our stoves, that we'll take them apart and actually soak them and clean them out.
We also use a shop vac, to get, so you'll loosen it or you use your brush and you clean the holes, like Andy just said, and then you just go in there and you suck it all up with the shot vac, and then it's done.
All right, Bob, thanks so much. Let's go to Nicholas, who's calling from Newton. Hi, Nicholas, you're on the air.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Happy to do it. What's on your mind, Nicholas? What's on your grill, more to the point?
One of my favorite ways of having and preparing steak is what's called black and blue, which is where it's nicely charred on the outside but very rare on the inside. And as much as I love ordering it in restaurants, I can almost never get it right on my home grill. And I know grills vary in temperature a lot, but do you guys have any suggestions about a target temperature that I should be hitting to get that nice char, and maybe a guess about how much time per weight of steak I should be leaving it on for?
I mean, it also depends on how thick your steak is, and I hate not being able to give an answer. But, you know, I don't know, Andy, if you remember, but there was one dish we used to do where Chris made us throw the steak actually into the coals.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you want to get it as hot and as charred as possible.
Right on the coals.
Yeah, I'd have to lift up the grill,
yeah.
You know, stick my hand into the fire, you know, put the steak in
there.
Doesn't
that put dust all over the steak?
But it was the flavor. It was,
and it's kind of sears off. You just brush it off.
I see. Exactly.
So we did a lot of testing on this with a laser pointer, and we're talking somewhere between 700 and 900 degrees is how hot you want to get it. I don't know how you're going to figure out how hot that is without a laser pointer. If you can't hold your hand above it for 3 seconds, 3 to 5 seconds, it's really, really hot. Hmm. And then, you know, you want a thick steak also. I mean, that's the thing. You don't want it to be, you want to temperature it, make sure it's room temperature. That way it's not cold when you're done, but it's going to take about 2 minutes aside. You'll know very quickly. And right. Practice. This is fun. Practice your craft.
Yeah, it absolutely is fun. Practice makes perfect. Let's go to Ken with another, Ken from Holden with another question about temperature and steaks. Ken, you're on the air.
Afternoon, gentlemen.
Afternoon.
Your first guest was talking about the use of a thermometer as an optional way to gauge, let's say, rare from medium.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give us some guidance on that?
Well, I mean, there's my favorite thermometer is something called the ThermoPen.
Yes.
You ever worked with one of those?
Oh, yeah.
They're unbelievable. They're not, I mean, they're a little bit more expensive than a cheapo, but they last, and they're digital, and they tell you exactly what it is. And
that's called a ThermoPen.
ThermoPen.
Yeah, but Ken, you're talking about temperature. You want to know some guide. You want some guidance on temperature, right?
Well, so you can go in Celsius or Fahrenheit. In the restaurant, we go in Celsius because we think it's more accurate. But at home, I mean, you know, you can read what the FDA is going to tell you to do. And inevitably, that's most likely going to be more well done than you thought it was supposed to be. And I'm not telling you to do it, however. But, you know, if you're looking for something that's rare to medium rare, you're looking at in like one in the teens, you know, or something like that. 110, so 110 plus. Is
under 120.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's going to keep it nice and rare for you. And then, you know, incrementally above that. And it depends on the thickness of your steak, because what a lot of people forget, and you hear this word resting, like you're supposed to rest your steak, that your steak is carrying heat even when you take it, you know, or any meat, whatever it is, your pork chop, or your, mm-hmm. you know, your striped bass, you're taking that off the grill, and it still has residual heat on the outside that's going to come, you know, keep on going towards the center. So it's still, what we, you know, in the kitchen, we say it carries over. So you always have to allow yourself a couple of degrees.
Like five.
You know, exactly. It's because, you know, you'll pull it and you think it's perfect and your thermometer said it's medium rare, and then you slice into it and it looks medium. You're like, well, what happened? Well,
the
residual temperature was still actually cooking it off the grill. So you have to give it that time.
All right. When we talk about grilling, we spend a lot of time talking about meat, which we've been doing. But I think we should talk about grilling vegetables and some good ideas for folks who love vegetables. So, Andy, what do we need to understand about grilling vegetables and why it can work so well?
Well, the interesting thing about grilling vegetables is it's unlike a steak, which you're going to want to cook rare. You actually want to cook them to what I would say like medium. So the best way to do it is have a kind of a medium grill. A medium grill, I would tell you, is between, you can hold your hand above it for 5 to 10 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a slower grill.
Yeah.
A very slow grill would be 10 to 15. So once you do that, you want to lightly oil your vegetables, not too much. The oil will drip, and you see that flare up. That actually imparts bitter flavor. You want to go very light oil, season it as you will, salt and pepper, spices. You want patience. Just let it cook slowly. After about 3 minutes, maybe take a peek. It should be getting golden brown. You see good grill marks, and then flip it over. It's going to take about probably 4 to 6 minutes totally on both sides.
Hmm.
And I like, you know, especially in this summer, so the vegetables, zucchini, you can eat raw. So undercook them all, chop them up, a little bit of lemon, a little bit of olive oil, or dressing, delicious.
Tony, what do you want to add about vegetables and grilling?
I mean, when we put in this big grill at Kirkland Tap and Trotter, you know, and there were the obvious things like, oh, it's asparagus season, or let's put artichokes on the grill and stuff like that too. But then we really fell in love with greens, you know, and if you can't, if you want to try to cook a whole bunch of different things at the same time, you have a hot area. So what we do with Weber or the grill at, you know, Tap and Trotter, we put the hot coals in one area, and then, you know, it radiates out. So even if you have a hot grill, you still have other areas of the grill that you can use to do different things. So it's having an understanding. And we put the greens, you know, Swiss chard, mustard greens, big, you know, things of bok choy, same thing, lightly seasoned, but put them farther back, and they kind of do this smoke roast, grill roast thing going on.
I love the sound of it.
And absolutely fantastic. We actually have some in some bok choy with some chicken that we brought with us, too.
Well, we'll look forward to this. Is what you've brought right in front of us. Well, open the box. Give us a visual.
You sure you're ready for this?
Yeah, I think I'm ready. Okay. In the meantime, I'll just say, Andy, I'm looking in your cookbook, Grilled to Perfection. Grilled corn with miso butter looks amazing. Grilled zucchini salad with sea salt and lemon zest. You did this for us farm to fork, but it was all raw. But this is grilled.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, really, really, really nice. Let's take another call. Richard from Framingham is calling. Hi, Richard. You're on the air. Richard, are you with us? How about we... Is Richard there? No. How about we go to Martha from Centerville? Martha, you are on the air.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, it's a good day.
I have a question about boneless chicken thighs. We've recently discovered them and like them very much. They are much more juicier than the breasts, and I think a lot tastier. So I wanted to know if, as far as grilling, the last time we had them, I just seasoned them lightly and put them on the grill. But I've been looking for maybe a marinade or a rub. What would you suggest?
I'm not a big fan of the marinades because I think the acid does some weird things to a lot of the meat, but rubs, absolutely. And, you know, there's so many, you go into the market right now, and there are a lot of really neat, you know, rubs that you haven't heard of before. You can, you know, go into the Middle East and find something like za'atar or something like that, which is really fantastic on chicken, or maybe vadivan, which is like a French-inspired curry with a lot of garlic and shallot and stuff like that. I really like that on grilled chicken. What do you think, Andy?
I mean, I'm a big fan of just getting some, now in August, getting a bunch of fresh herbs, putting them in your blender, a little bit of olive oil, maybe your favorite acid, which I mean like balsamic or red wine vinegar or lemon juice, to make a slurry. Just rub that on your chicken, let it sit for, you know, 30 minutes before, and then grill it up. Just and I'm a big fan of the chicken thigh, too. Way to go.
All right, Martha, thanks. Let's go to Richard. I think he's on the line now. Richard's calling from Framingham. Hi, Richard. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Can you hear me?
We can. Loud and clear. What's on your mind?
I built a wood-burning oven in my backyard, and my brother-in-law gave me a grate that you can cook in the wood-burning oven. And I'm wondering if there's any techniques in, like, trying to cook a steak on it over the wood and stuff like that.
So you're talking about a wood-burning pizza-style oven, right?
Yes, that's what I built. Yeah.
Okay, great. Sounds wonderful.
I think there you really want to get as thick a cut as possible because the heat's going to be so intense, and it's a great way to cook meat. But if it's, you know, if it was going to be the skirt steak that Andy was talking about before, it's going to... It's just before you get any good color or flavor on there, it's going to be overdone. So you definitely need something, you know, an inch and a half, 2 inches thick, like a nice roast type of thing. And then you've got time to get the color and the flavor that you're looking on and not overcooking it.
Yeah, we did bone-in ribeyes at the Patriots game with the guys from Prezza, Anthony Catarano. He had a pizza oven there shaped of a football helmet. And we roasted cowboy steaks, yeah, bone-in, 2-inch, which is a ribeye, 2-inch thick. We didn't use a grate, though. We just put it right on the floor of the pizza oven, and wow, they were incredible. So good for you.
Yeah, sounds great. Richard, enjoy that pizza oven. So we literally have about, I don't know, 30 or 40 seconds left. I want to ask you both to answer this question really, really quickly, and that is a lot of us who grill, I think we get really comfortable with sort of one or two things that we always do. So push me out of my comfort zone, Tony Maws. Give me an idea to go home to and think about grilling tonight.
I mean, again, just utilizing every part of your grill. So, you know, if you're putting your chicken on, you know, your boneless chicken thighs that you're just talking about on the hot part of the grill, well, then think about how else you can use it at the same time. So we talked about, you know, big bok choy. Everyone wants to know what that.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. And then I might take some beautiful potatoes that are at the market right now. They're super fresh and young, and just wrap them, you know, olive oil, salt, pepper, wrap them in foil, and then put them right next to the coals.
All right.
And then you're cooking three different things at the same time.
Andy, 5 seconds. Give me an idea here.
Lobster and hobo packs.
Okay. That's Andy Husbands, chef and owner of Tremont 647. He's co-author of Grill to Perfection. And Tony Maws, chef and owner of Craigie on Main Street and chef proprietor of Kirkland Tap and Trotter in Somerville. Gentlemen, thank you both very much for coming in.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Listeners, a lot of these suggestions will be at RadioBoston.org. More ahead. I'm Anthony Brooks with Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.